Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, guys. Just a quick message from Sweet January 2021 here. Just to say, this was recorded back in November. The tiers were different then, but we're very socially distanced. Zoe's in Brighton having a lovely time on the Zoom call. So that's why the quality might be slightly different than what you're used to. But you know what? It's been a tricky year, so get the fuck over it. Enjoy the episode. Love you guys. Bye.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Sorry, me again, but seriously, if you don't want it, then just give it back, because it is just bullshit. It's a lovely Beauty and the Beast watercolour, and other people want it.
Deleted. Hello, and welcome to Daddy Look At Me, a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer, and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood, and of course, Daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Hello!
Hello! And welcome to... hello, Daddy! Daddy!
Over here!
Look at me!
Horrendous. Just say like hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me. What's that? Like,
I'm trying to mix it up.
Oh, okay then.
I'm season four.
Okay, so like Daddy.
Daddy.
Dad.
Dad.
Daddy.
Dad.
Dad.
Look at me.
Welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
Yay!
I love how our guest is just watching us over a video on Squadcast. Like, what the fuck is this? I got up so early for this. This is not worth it. But welcome, Zoe Lyons.
Hello.
Hello.
Guys.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, you know. Enjoying Lockdown 2, the unwanted shitty sequel. Yeah.
Really? Because I think Lockdown 2 has like a lot of benefits that Lockdown 1 didn't have.
Well, we have the foresight, don't we? We have the knowledge that we've done it before. We know what to do.
Like HelloFresh deliveries, things that we weren't doing before, but now we're definitely doing it.
We know now that we can't just survive on a diet of Merlot and banana bread. You will get scurvy and die.
I can.
Yeah. Have you seen Rosie? She is like shitting out a loaf every single afternoon. It's a very dark hued banana loaf bread.
Perfect loaf shape.
Yeah, oh, tin it's shape. Insane. Yeah. That's how the arseholes are made up north, aren't they?
Yeah, tough and square. I got corners.
That's where the term
shit a brick comes from.
I never knew that before. That is so nice to know.
That's what, that's an old northern tradition of dry wall stoning that used to just shit them out.
Wow.
It's a combination of clay and banana loaf. And,
oh, the more you know.
Sturdy buildings up north. Sturdy buildings.
My dad did it.
Just the men, just lined up in Portaloos, being like, here's another brick, Clive. Thank you.
It's built like a brick shit house.
Exactly. It's built out of brick shit house.
Well, welcome, Zoe Lyons, to Daddy
Thank
Look
you.
At Me.
Sorry,
no, no, seriously, that was disgusting to be
perfect.
I'm actually really pleased that you were like, oh, that's how they make assholes up north like tough, because Rosie has been so pathetic this morning. You've got no idea.
What?
Okay, so to illustrate for the listeners, we're filming it in November. I had just been stung by a bee.
What?
Yeah!
Oh, come, it's a bee, Zoe. Like,
in November?
In November.
Where did it get you, Rosie?
Oh, my
God. Okay. So, because
someone stabbed on the street when they gave you.
Frantically was. because I live on the third floor of a block of flats and need to hold on to the railing going down the stairs, and the bee was waiting for me.
Just sitting there, wasn't waiting for anyone in particular.
Waiting for me on the railing.
Right.
I brushed it and it stung my inner.
Oh,
inner hand.
Oh, right in the gammony bit of your hand.
Yeah, what is that? Like the nook of the hand?
Well, it's the hand, it's just the hand.
I think it's just the palm. Yeah.
Yeah, you got stung on the palm of the hand, like.
But now it's all red.
It's a little bit red.
It's a tiny bit red.
Really red and swollen, and I feel the poison.
Imagine how the bee feels. I mean, he was just using the handrail like any normal sort of flying insect.
Thank you, Zoe Lyons. Thank you. I think we can both agree that this one sting by a bee did not warrant the 12 text messages that Rosie sent this morning about it.
Poor bee was just going, listen, I've fallen down these stairs before. I'm not making the same mistake twice. I'm going to use the handrail. And then along comes Rosie.
It's November, though. I'm not looking out for bees.
Oh, yeah, because famously every single morning in the summer you walk downstairs being like, oh, I better check for bees before
I'm
I start.
I'm more aware of it.
And to put it in perspective, Zoe, she's been going on about this bee sting for like the last hour, just fully like won't shut up about it. I had 3 injections last week and I haven't said a single thing.
Oh.
I don't care.
Pretty sure those injections weren't correct. Pretty sure they're injections you give to a baby, and she got me confused with a baby. Right, I had an MMR jab. That doesn't feel right.
That doesn't feel right at your age.
No, right? And thing is, I went in for a smear test, so she was inside my vagina, so she must know I'm not a baby. Unless
that is
I'm
not
that
why you
tight.
Have an MMR jab, I'm pretty sure as well. I'm no doctor, but I'm fairly sure that's not why you dispense a vaccination.
We basically, because we both think that we've been through more, can you just stop trying to hold my hand? We basically want to know who you think has suffered the most.
Well, I mean, a bee sting in November is very unseasonal. It is. I mean, we are into wolf season now. It should have, you know, that's really what you've got your eye out
on. Oh, can I also tell you then that when I went in for my smear test, I didn't tell her I needed the big speculum because I wanted her to guess, and she got it right.
You didn't tell her what?
That I needed the big speculum. I was like, I'll just see what she thinks. And then she got the big one out. And I was like, fair play to you, fair play. She knows her woman's height and vagina size.
What, like a sort of Allen key? Like, yes, it was.
I wanted to see if from the outside I look like I have a big vagina.
You do.
It's nice to know. I know I do. But people are always like so needy to compliment it these days that people go like, oh no, you can't tell that you could like accommodate like a Tresemme pad or breast.
I genuinely didn't know they came in different sizes of speculum.
Well, congratulations, you're a small.
Wow. Okay.
Well, what a lovely way to find out.
But also, if she gets wrong.
Yeah.
You'd be in pain.
No, so, I would just have a small one in me and then I'd be like, oh, wasted NHS resources, but now we know.
Yeah. Get the javelin out.
Oh, all right. That's the same. Do you know what I mean? Like the big speculum, we're talking like a centimetre. Like,
you've got to take the traffic cone.
So, who's been through the most? Bear in mind that I'm still in pain.
My arm's still a little bit sore, actually.
I think because of the unseasonal element of the animal attack, I'm going to have to go with the bee sting. I think
You know what? Fine. I don't even want to argue it, even though that's mad, because one bee sting versus 3 injections,
that's normal.
Well, congratulations.
You shouldn't feel an injection, Helen.
Yeah. Well, I do. Maybe I just feel things more. Maybe it's my overwhelming empathy for myself. Honestly, I've got a little... You know what? Congratulations, Zoe. You've won Rosie leading your interview, so good
there
luck with that.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. So, first question. Tell me about little Zoe Lyons. Was she an attention seeker?
That was less vague than I thought it was going to be.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I guess I've always been an attention seeker, except little Zoe Lyons lived in a place where there wasn't a lot of attention to be had.
Oh no, where did little Zoe Lyons live?
Little Zoe Lyons grew up in a very rural part of Ireland in the 70s, where there was very few people. So I had an imaginary friend.
That
was my companionship when I was little Zoe Lyons, and his name was Boy. Because I clearly had an astounding imagination even as a child. And there was a time apparently when my mother thought I was possessed because I had a very deep relationship with Boy and we would talk for hours. And if stuff went wrong around the house, apparently, I would blame Boy.
And oh, my God. Thank God. I thought you meant you and Boy had a sexual relationship.
No.
No,
we didn't have an imaginary sexual relationship. That was.
I thought you were coming home at like 8 years old to your mum, like, Boy raped me in the common. Okay, thank God.
No, I'd have been about five. We had very few friends. So, yeah.
So, when. God bless the Irish for the possession. That's amazing. Yeah. So, you've got an imaginary friend. That sounds amazing. But then. Yeah. What happens when your mother thinks that there's a possession involved?
I don't know. It's the 70s. I don't know. I think she'd watched Damon or something. It'd been on television, one of those first horror movies, and there was demonic possession in that. I think she just assumed I was possessed by some sort of devil. You did. There was nothing else to do in Ireland in the 70s except assume your children were being possessed by devils. It's what you do. There's nothing else to do. The weather was awful. There was, couldn't go to Centre Park. So it didn't exist. So you just got sort of possessed by a devil. No, so I had this imaginary friend. There was nobody to show off to. That was the problem.
So did you go to a really tiny school?
Yes. Yeah. At one point, I went to a really tiny school, like a tiny, tiny school, where all the classes were in one room.
That was my dream.
Why?
Growing up. I don't know. I just wanted to go to a really tiny school. I think because when you were in the older years, you could be like the really clever one in the classroom.
Well, that all depended on if you were the really clever one in the class.
I was about to say, that is such a specific dream.
Yeah. Or you were just the older, stupid one in the class.
But then when you're 11 and you're next to a 5-year-old going, I like sheep.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're the clever one.
I just think, you're thinking of a fantasy where you're a genius, which is amazing, but I'm with Zoe. Like, otherwise it's just you with all these, kids and you don't know how to... And also, I've only had one person I've spoken to about going to a tiny school, which is my friend Jess, and I was in her hometown, which is a village outside of Abingdon in, the Oxfordshire countryside, and she just pointed at a school and she was like, that was it, that's the one classroom and that's where all the other kids, all five of them used to hang me up with a skipping rope on the climbing frame and torture me. And I was like... Because then the whole school
whole
is against
school.
You. The whole school.
Yeah. I went to various little schools. I was taught by nuns as well. That was...
My God. Yeah. What was that like?
The Sound of Music, or was it more sort of Sister Act 2?
None of those things.
What?
There was no clapping in the clapping together in the woo. Yeah. They spoke Irish mostly to us. And if you didn't speak Irish back to them, they weren't happy.
Can you speak Irish?
No, I used to be able to speak a little bit, but nothing now. No. Dias Mirigat. That's about as much as I can do. Dias Mirigat. So really hard, Adam.
And what does that mean? This is my friend Boy. He is my only friend.
Hello, my name is Zoe Lyons. That is it.
Very good.
That is. Thank you very much. I mean, I really have to say it's not a skill that's helped me much later in life. I very rarely had to call upon it.
Well, you just used it now, and I think everyone's freaking out.
There you go.
I've
been waiting for this moment. 40 plus years I've been waiting to use it and dig it out. Yeah. Dig it out. But no, but even when I went to a slightly bigger school, I wasn't the class clown at all. I didn't have the confidence to be a class clown. I was quite quiet. I was quite quiet. Yeah. I've never been the class clown. Never. Ever.
I didn't see that because you're such a naturally funny and like outgoing person. I remember the first time I met you, I was like such a brand new comic and I didn't know anyone else on the bill. And I didn't know you either, but you were like, oh, hi, you're new. I'm Zoe. Nice to meet you. And you like talk to me and it's like, oh, she's got her shit together. She's on it. But that's something that must have come with later life then.
I guess so. I mean, honestly, Helen, my shit is all over the place. I just do a really good impression of having my shit tight.
I think your notepad was like really neat as well or something. I was like,
No, I just know. I mean, I remember the class clowns at school, and it just wasn't me. I was quite shy because I moved around quite a lot, and I went from school to school in different places. So we moved from Ireland to England to Scotland. So my accent was always changing wherever I went. So I was generally bullied, to be honest. So no, don't pity me. It's maybe the person I am today, which is just a.
Actually, I think moving around that much made you confident and easy to adapt.
Well, adapt. I think it makes you adapt. Well, I think, being serious for a moment, I think it makes you empathetic. Yeah. To people who are also outside their comfort zone. So you have an empathy where you can, you know, when you realise that somebody's not comfortable and you know what that feels like.
Like how I'm not comfortable with my 3 injections, but you decided to ignore that and focus on Rosie's piece thing.
Exactly that.
Okay. You're nervous. Do you throw yourself into your academic studies? Like, did you have a favourite subject?
No, not really. Oh, no, did I have a favourite subject? I wasn't particularly academic. I've always struggled with reading. I'm not a very good reader or writer. And so I've always struggled
with
that.
Well, that's changed now, but yeah.
Well, no, not really. I still sort of struggle with it.
No, as a comedian, you are a good writer. So.
You see, it's funny because I always used to concentrate. When people used to say to me, you should write more, the first thing I would think of is the actual physical act of writing, not the bit that's the creative, getting ideas down on a page. Always, it would be my mind would immediately go to the physical act of writing, which I absolutely hated because I had no confidence in my spelling ability.
Yeah.
So I would always pull away from it.
Yeah.
Does that sound ridiculous?
No.
I just absolutely was terrified of making myself look like an arse. And reading out in class was the biggest. You know when they used to hand round a book and you get round to your bit of reading.
Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, I can make words up that you know. I can break a word up into pieces that nobody else could even identify as recognisable pieces of a word. It's just horrific.
I think it's that thing when you're called out to read in class, like it's always like a fucking Shakespeare text or something.
Yeah.
You're like, I mean, come on, give me a running start.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's read like Biff, Chip and Kipper, which is like the ultimate kids book. And like, give me like the one syllable.
Dr. Seuss. Yeah.
Give me the camera hat. You know what? I can perform a rhyme like no one's business.
Yeah.
But they really throw you in it. And there is always, like, I don't know if you had this, but that one teacher who knows that you feel to your core you can't do it, and still feel like, you know what, this will help them in the long run. And it's like, no, it doesn't. No, it's brilliant.
It really doesn't. It's really horrible. So I hated English. I absolutely hated it because of that. So my favourite subject, I think, was geography. I love geography.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't get many geographers admitting that they love geography at the beginning.
I loved it. I've always loved being outside. So I loved learning about mountains and rocks and glaciers and rivers and people moving about the place. I loved all that.
See, I'm
absolutely
on board with
it.
Most of that, apart from glaciers, because I have such
glaciers
a fear
are amazing.
Of... No, because you can just walk across one and then just fall through the ice and die.
Yeah, you don't just wander across a glacier.
Yes, you do. Happens if you get confused.
Well, thankfully, there's very few left these days because of global warming, so that's less of a danger.
Oh, we actually don't believe in global warming on this podcast.
All right, okay.
Yeah, sorry, we're conspiracy theorists.
Oh, good. Kindred spirits.
It's not a question of whether the Earth is flat, but it's what's under the flat Earth.
Geography is such an underrated subject.
Is it?
It is!
Yeah!
Okay, whoa, we don't have to yell, Zoe. Just maps.
Because I think if I studied it now, it's one of the good ones.
Oh, it's
fascinating. It is one of the good ones. Rivers, silt.
Silt.
Deposits.
They do the best school trips.
Yes. No, wait, that's bullshit. History does the best school trips.
No.
History didn't do school trips.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do history GCSE, but history, you get to go to battlegrounds, play with weapons. Like, that was the bar.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Geography, what do you do? Like what
muddy
was your
fields,
geography?
Muddy fields, anoraks.
There you go.
Yeah. There's an anorak in a muddy field with some really appalling sandwiches that your mum's packed for you in a Tupperware thing. Somebody's always sick. It's pretty bad.
Matt.
Yeah.
I'm trying to talk to you about your favourite subject, Zoe. Like, really.
Oh, right, sorry.
And you're there, and then, you're sick and there's sandwiches you hate in a muddy field. Where would have been your geography trip location? Would it just have been a field, or did you live close to any sort of, hills and mountains in Scotland?
Scotland. I lived it it was Glasgow, so it wasn't really rolling.
No.
Not really. So, I found a needle. three fag butts and a needle. That's fucking brilliant, by the way.
What a great way to get your GCSE.
When you lived there, did you have a Glaswegian accent?
No, and that's why I got beaten up regularly.
No.
So by the time I moved there, I had an English accent because the Irish accent had gone because I'd moved to England. So I had an English accent. So then I stood out in Glasgow as having the English accent. Yeah,
not gonna lie,
always the last one to be picked for netball. That was me. That kid. I was that kid. I was that kid. I was that kid.
You were the geographer. English geography
lover.
Loser.
Yeah.
I tell you what we've done again. We've booked someone for the podcast. We're like, they're great. They're so much fun. And we've asked about their childhood. And it's like, that's just... No wonder they're so funny. That's a trauma. We've uncovered a trauma.
We're dealing with it.
Please tell me that at some point, through all the bullying because of the accents and boy and the love of geography, even though you can only find a needle on the street, there was a friend at some point.
Yes, I had. I had a lovely group of friends in Glasgow. I had a very lovely group of girls who were very sweet.
And
we're still in touch, actually.
No way! I love that.
Mostly.
Oh my god, there's always a fucking Rachel, am I right?
Yeah. There's always one that disappears. You're like, oh well, never mind. I had really good friends. And that's maybe when I started to become a show off. This will make you laugh. Right. School discos.
Yes!
Love a school disco.
It must have been about 1983.
Great.
Something like that.
Great.
and New Order, Blue Monday
came out. Oh, shut up. I've heard that song.
I love that fucking song. Anyway, I used to I taught myself to do robotic dancing. And at the school disco, I can't remember his name. I think he was a chemistry teacher who used to also run the school disco. You know, they're always slightly odd.
Yeah.
They looked ancient when you were that age, but they're probably about 33, yeah, but slightly balding.
Ancient.
And sort of, you know, yeah, they look ancient at that when you're 12. And he used to go, "This one's for you, Zoe." And he'd put on Blue Monday, New Order. And I used to get in the middle of the school disco dance floor and do my routine. And all the other kids would stand around and clap, and I was like, "Oh my god, I am a god. I'm practically Malcolm McLaren at the school."
Did you enjoy having that attention?
Oh yeah.
I'm so sorry, but part of me feels like they weren't clapping, but they were beating the march to your death drum.
I'll accept that.
Like, you're all like, they love me. They love me. They're all cheering and they're all there slowly stepping in. Like, we'll kill a Handmaid's Tale style stoner.
Yeah. Like, oh, I loved it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I was such a show off. What an absolute dick when you think about it.
No, we are both attention seekers and it's those things that you do. Like, we had my mum on and my mum told us about how she taught herself to faint at school for attention. Like,
brilliant.
These are things that we've all gone through. It's absolutely fine. And did that like stay with you? Did you then start like craving an audience when you got like into like 15, 16 years old?
And you like that. Yeah. We're just show off. I am, and always have been, I think, just a stupid show off. Just a ridiculous, stupid show off with very little skills to back it up. So often it doesn't pan out well. Whatever I'm doing, I show off. I'm an arsehole.
We're going to need an example of this. Like,
I'll race people at the traffic lights.
Yeah.
I'm so pathetic.
I thought I said anything so pathetic in my head. I want to make that clear.
So pathetic. Anything I do, like, this competitiveness just comes into me and I will almost kill somebody in an attempt to... I'll almost kill myself in an attempt to win something. I show off. I'm just a dick.
I feel like you're saying that like it's a bad thing, but it's a fuel that makes us good at jobs.
Yeah.
It also makes us really hard to be around. Let's not be those toxic women who are like, honestly, you are a 10 out of 10. Everything you do turns to gold. Like, it is also fucking stressful. Like, my family are like super into board games. So they play them every single year. And like, we kind of have a tradition in our family that my sister has to win or she's going to be a fucking dick for like 2 days. But thing is, I also want to win.
Yeah.
And I will be a dick. And granted, I'm not severely autistic. And I don't need to win the way that maybe she
does.
But
it still hurts though, Helen.
I think every now and again, I'm winning. I'm not going to throw it.
Yeah.
But then what does that say about me?
I don't know what it is, but we're so needy as comedians. We are so, so needy. It's hilarious. I mean, I'm 49 years old.
49? Well done.
I am.
Well done.
Thank you. And I am so needy. It is pathetic. I look at people my age and I go, wow, they managed to sort of survive without people looking at them or even drawing attention to themselves or just doing normal shit.
Yeah.
There is no way I could have that dull an existence. I am still absolutely a child at heart that needs looking at the entire time. I mean, I know the whole world's been going through a pandemic, but I think I've had the worst experience.
Oh.
You're talking to two people who got stung by a bee and had an injection to save their life and for some reason have taken it badly for attention.
But I am the exact same thing.
I know everyone's had an awful 2020, but I'm like, guys, it's been really bad for me because I've not been in a room with people laughing at me all year. And it's really affected me.
Nobody know the trouble we've seen. No.
But I feel like you've been classier with this. Like, me and Rosie went through an Instagram live phase. We were that desperate. Like, I haven't seen you doing any of that crap.
No, I disappear. That's one area where I don't tend to engage. I just disappear in that. Or I'll have a little flurry of, look, my life's amazing. Oh, no, it's not a shit.
Oh, no, we've all seen your Facebook posts about the marathons you've been doing. Like, yeah. There's still the need there for an audience.
Still the need. That's another example. Yeah.
I've been trying to think of a way not to bring it up, but it is that thing of
five
like,
marathons.
You're running five marathons and you're posting your updates. And it's like, you just need those sweet likes, need those likes.
Yeah. Need those sweet likes. Yeah. And it's a show off thing, isn't it? When people are going, I'm doing the couch to 5K. And it's like, oh, really? I did 35 miles the other.
Heidi Regan rung me up to tell me she finished her couch to 5K, and it's like, I don't give a fucking shit. I couldn't.
Who did that?
Heidi Regan. Oh. Like, she's better than she is better than that.
Show my voice can't run.
She's got a disability, Zoe. You know, lest we forget.
Yeah.
And I've been stung by a bee. So, you showing up, did that ever come out at school in performance? Were you in any plays or music?
Yeah. I want to guess that she was in the Nativity as a shepherd. That's just the guess.
Oh, no, I was in primary school. Yeah. I was Innkeeper's wife in the Nativity play.
Me too!
Yeah, the innkeeper's wife.
It's an impact role, isn't it, Zoe?
Yeah.
I'm a character.
I played it very subtly. Through that subtlety, I managed to draw attention to the beautiful performance I gave as the innkeeper's wife in a top-end tea towel. But we did two nights in a row, a sort of a short run off West End. And the second night, I think the innkeeper had forgotten we were doing two performances and he forgot to show up. So I actually got promoted on the second night. Yes. I had to work the reception that night at the inn.
Hello!
As a woman?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Why was he?
He just didn't show up. He forgot. I think his parents forgot that there was a two-night run. So no innkeeper. So, I mean, I obviously didn't have much experience of the booking system that we'd been using. And obviously, with it being Christmas, it was quite rammed. So, you know.
Please tell me this is your backstory. This is so
I offered them a spare room at my cousin's house who lived down the road, but they didn't take it. They took the manger in the end. There you go. You try your best.
Tell you what's amazing is when you talk to someone who's not a comedian or a performer and you ask them about like their school plays and nativities, they have literally no memory.
Really?
But whenever we seriously, it's mad. But then you ask a comedian or performer and they can remember the exact detail of the role they played.
Yeah.
And like, it's just because it's one of those moments that the first time you were like, I've got to fulfill this. And probably the first time you had that thing that we crave, which is that nervous endorphin rush. It's that rush of being like so, I mean, we're laughing, but like, you must have been fucking terrified when he didn't show up to do that role.
Yeah, that moment where you're looking around going, what?
Yeah.
Where's John?
But that would have been one of the first times you would have gone on and had to do something like on the spot and got away with it. Because that's all it is getting away with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then it's a first feeling where you're like, oh, I was nervous, but I enjoyed it and I could do it. Whereas non-performers are a bit like, oh, I was nervous, I did it, I continue to be nervous.
Yeah.
And now I'd rather forget
that ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
For us, it lit that fire.
Big time. Yeah. So did you stay with the sort of like auditioning for school plays thing, or were you too shy for too long?
Yeah, I did. I didn't actually get many. When I was at bigger school in Glasgow, I used to love drama, possibly because I fancied my drama teacher, because she was a bit airy. She was quite cool. Yeah. She used to wear a lot of... She clearly didn't give a shit about a lot of things in life, as a lot of drama teachers don't seem to. She wore a lot of flowy outfits.
Yeah. Sort of, pashminas and brooches, yeah.
She was more into the sort of spiritual and that sort of thing.
Oh my God, it's my mum. You got taught by my mum. Amazing. Yeah.
So I think because I always felt a bit, I sort of connected with her. And she was like, you're very imaginative and you've got this whole creativity within you. And I'm like, I do, don't you? You are special because you saw that I was special. You know I'm special and I know I'm special. You saw it as well. It means you're special. But I didn't really get many parts. But it was only when I went to university that I started to get parts and things.
Did you study drama at uni?
No, I studied psychology.
Fucking yes.
Yeah. I mean, I say studied. I use that word very, very loosely. It was mostly mucking about in bucket bongs. But which wasn't part of the course.
For any young people listening, make sure we do study hard. Do not go down Zoe's life path. She has made some strong choices.
I've made some strong, wrong choices.
Not wrong, strong. Just strong.
Strong and wrong.
But she is successful.
Despite it all, Zoe is successful.
Despite everything, which is a miracle. Despite my best efforts, I've still managed to scrape together some sort of a career.
You've got a great career. You've got like a dream career.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did
it,
though.
Yes, I have no idea.
I don't know how you've done it.
Honestly, I'm so uncommitted. I'm not lazy, but I'm just really easily distracted. Like, so easily distracted. Like, before we came on to do this, I was like, I should read the notes that Jack, the producer, sent through to me. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do 20 press-ups. Because I'm an idiot.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, not to be the person that has to refocus this interview.
Right,
but
sorry.
What, did you audition for the Drama Society at university then? Or
I did. I used to audition for plays at university. I didn't often get them.
What the fuck? You're a star.
So in the end, I'd be content with doing the props. Because like, it felt like I went
through a stage management phase, baby girl, 100%. Yeah.
I've done stuff with gaffer tape and black paint.
It's just being part of it.
Yeah. It's just being part of it. And it was a shitty part of it. It was, Just sitting in your own in a darkened studio late at night trying to make clouds on sticks or something for some sodding sketch show that you'd auditioned for but weren't allowed into.
See, who the fuck did you go to university with? Like the Monty Python boys? Why weren't you in it?
Well, actually, I went to York University and James Callis was in my year. He went on to become a very famous actor. Mm. There was quite a few actors and stuff I went to that became actors afterwards. Mm. It had a very strong drama department.
That happens, doesn't it? Every now and again, you're just in one of those year groups.
York.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not discussing York again. Sorry, Rosie's going to be a bitch about York, but we're not discussing it. It's not basically, Zoe, what happened is I went on holiday to York for 3 days in the lockdown break, did a staycation, and Rosie was upset with me because I didn't invite her, even though it was nothing to do with her.
And my mum and dad live in York.
Outside of York.
Yeah.
So literally not even worth discussing right now because we're focused on you.
Yeah. As long as you brought back an Eccles cake, it's all right.
I brought back a fridge magnet.
There you go. That's all you
exactly.
need.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Moving away from my bad ex baby and Tavioc to your ex baby and Tavioc. So, I just wanted to say, I think doing props and doing things behind the scene, did that just make you hungrier to be a performer?
Yeah, I really wanted to be on stage. I really, really wanted to be on stage. Finally, in my last year at university, I got a lead role in a play.
What was it?
It was Dancing at Lunasa, Brian Friel, and I got to play Maggie, one of the sisters.
Oh, I don't know it at all.
Oh, it's a beautiful play, and I loved every second of it.
What was your character? Like, what was, like,
Maggie,
the thing?
She was one of the older sisters. It's an Irish play. Yes, it was quite a dense character.
Oh, fun.
A bit like the innkeeper's wife.
I gave it as much effort as I gave the innkeeper. I gave it as much depth and breadth as the innkeeper's wife. Yeah.
Did you ever consider after finishing university, like auditioning and going to drama school?
I went to drama school.
No, you did not.
No.
Oh, we've only got a couple of minutes left. This is my favourite subject of all time. Which drama school, how many did you audition for? What were your audition speeches? Go.
I only auditioned for one, which was the poor school in King's Cross in London, which is no more. Yeah. My audition speeches were, I think it was Lady Anne from something.
From like a Richard play, is that?
Some sort of Shakespeare
God,
shit,
I know
wasn't
this
it?
One.
That I just sort of set down your something. Like, yeah.
That's going to bother me.
Whilst we obsequiously lament, whatever it was. Anyway, I said the words. I didn't really know what I was saying.
You must have said them
what
well.
What my other audition piece was, but I got in.
Oh, amazing.
And 2 years there.
Oh,
yeah.
So did good. Was it the best 2 years?
Yeah.
No.
No!
Why?
is it one of those drama schools where they broke you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They broke you, and sometimes they lost some of the pieces. So when they put you back together again, you were like a shitty charity shop bought jigsaw. Because you're like, there's a big piece missing, and I think it's her soul.
this is like, you know, Drama Centre is one of those famous drama schools where they do that. And they sort of take these like really gorgeous young things who have got a real natural aptitude to performance. And they come out just sort of like, I spent third year cutting myself.
it's just
what
awful.
What the fuck happened?
Yeah. Pretty intense. And then I didn't really get any acting work after that at all. So I just went on and sort of, that's when I started thinking about doing stand-up. It was years later, bit of a procrastinator. I was probably doing press-ups.
For a couple of years.
I spent 5 years doing press-ups.
You know what? As long as you were doing the press-ups in public for attention, we're okay.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I mean, I don't know. We've got to stand up now. I feel like we've gone through her entire childhood, and Zoe Lyons is an absolute riddle of tragedy. The traumas.
It's made me feel quite sad.
Why sad?
I don't know, because you've been smiling the whole time when you've been saying it. But we'll be like, what was your favourite subject? You'll be like, I hated English. Did you have any friends? An imaginary one. I love performance. Did you get in many school plays? No, I didn't get in any. And then I got into drama school. Oh, did you like it? It was horrible. I did myself.
Yeah, but I'm happy now.
No, but that's the thing. You've said, I wish the listener could see this, but you've said all of it with a smile.
Like, I know, but...
Because you genuinely find it funny, which is so pleasing.
I do quite find it funny.
So.
I didn't particularly enjoy my childhood, much of it at all, because I was largely miserable for a lot of it.
Rudy, don't laugh.
There is a bit of me that wouldn't change any of that for the world now.
I think we've gone through a real experience with Zoe, and I think it's time.
Yeah, to talk to Daddy. Hello, I am Daddy. Say hello, Daddy. Daddy.
Hello, Daddy.
I really like that bit. So I think for this trip, with Daddy, then four of us are going. Yeah.
Four.
Good.
Four. Me, Daddy, Zoe, Helen, and Boy.
Oh. And Boy.
Yes, Boy.
Yes. Boy's still only 6 years old. He hasn't grown.
Why do you have to ruin everything, Zoe, with your words?
Oh, and he's still wearing little flares and his hair's slightly long. And he's got one of those terry toweling tops that's sort of brown and orange.
Oh, fuck it. Whoa. I would have bullied you at school.
Yeah.
But no one's talked to Boy in 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's a bit... He still thinks Jimmy Carter's in charge of America. That's where Boy... Yeah.
So we, the four of us, are going on a trip to Ireland.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
On a geography trip.
Yes.
Oh, I'm actually into this.
Yeah.
We are going to them big rocks.
Giant's Causeway.
Yeah.
I think you'll find that's Northern Ireland, which is a different country.
Yeah,
but
right.
We'll go
it's
with
near
it.
Belfast, isn't it?
Yes, it's near Belfast.
Well,
yes.
Nat is good at geography.
Let's not go there. Where
we can go to
I'll tell you where I'd like to go.
Where?
Kerry.
Kerry.
Okay. I like the butter.
Yes, let's go to Kerry.
And then we can all take hammers to bash rocks open to find fossils.
Lovely. Yes, I'm enjoying this.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're gonna do it.
Even though strictly speaking that's archaeology and not geography, but we won't, it's an ology. It's fine.
She has no fucking clue what she's talking about.
No fucking
here.
Clue.
Absolutely no clue.
So what shall we do?
River formation.
Yeah, we're going to have a look at some silt deposits.
What the fuck, silt? You keep saying this word silt.
It's like shit at the bottom of a river.
Oh, great.
We'll put our welly down and we'll save a bit of mud.
Yeah, lovely.
Lovely. And then after that, I got a treat for us all. Because I have brought a boombox. And I'm going to play Blue Monday.
Yes.
And you're going to robot dance. In the mud, in Ireland.
Well, what a treat that would be, Zoe.
Do you know what? It does sound rather fun. After the last 8 months, I pay dearly for that.
Honestly,
one day,
if we ever get money or this podcast becomes big enough, we're going to take everyone on these trips.
Yes,
so
yes,
this
please.
Could happen.
Yeah.
Well, you've been an absolute dream. Thank you for...
Have I, though? When you say dream, do you mean like those ones where there's a monster sat on your chest ripping
your
heart out?
I'll tell you what I've loved
or...
about this is it was a not... anything close to what I thought it was going to be.
No.
And I have loved every depressing second of it. I genuinely thought you'd be like, yeah, love school, like threw myself into everything, great group of mates, would love sports day, love this.
Yeah.
And you've just been like, no, the world is dark and everything's going back. Like, yeah. And it's just been psychotic because of the smiling and because your eyes have lit up with every depressing memory.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy it having come through it. Yeah.
Oh, we're so glad you came through it.
But that's the thing, it made you who you are.
Yes. A fucking 49-year-old lunatic. Right. Doing press-ups like a prison bitch. Yes.
Zoe, we know that there's a global pandemic going on, so no one's really got anything to plug. But if you could just tell us about your like social medias and stuff.
I do have something to plug.
Please, plug away.
I've got a new show coming out on BBC in the new year, January. A tea time quiz show called Lightning.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What? Do you actually?
Yes. So,
oh my God, I love
so I've hit
quizzes.
The Anne Robinson years of shiny suit and shiny core.
You hit those years when you were 13.
I hit those years when I was 8.
I don't even know why you're trying to make out now.
So yeah, I've sort of taken a different direction, and I am a quiz show host as of January. Oh.
Lightning on BBC. BBC Two, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone check out Lightning on BBC Two. It'll be on iPlayer
as
well.
It's your classic sort of game show, but we've sort of had a bit of fun with it. It's quite, I tell you what was brilliant about doing it. Punters are hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Punters are so much fun, and we had such a good cast on it. It was so much fun to do. So.
Oh, I cannot wait to watch this. I love a quiz show.
I love it.
Is it general knowledge questions?
It's general knowledge, and I do actually have a shiny suit. It is so beautifully cheesy. It's you're gonna need crackers with this one. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yes. Cheesier? It's cheesier than that line that I just dispensed. Yes.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for this.
Yes.
And then what's your socials?
Oh, I mean, Rosie, really? I'm a woman, I don't really. I mean, I'm on Instagram,
Yes, you are on Instagram.
Oh, yes, because Helen gave me a lesson and then I know how to use some of it.
You're welcome.
At Zoe Lyons Comedy. I've said that.
You know what? We'll be plugging this once you've gone. It's not worth it right now.
At Zoe Lyons on Twitter. There you go. I've done it.
Well, great job. You've really sold yourself well. Zoe, thank you. We'll let you go.
Really lovely to talk to you girls. It's lovely to see you.
And
it's good to see you too.
Yeah. Go and do 20 more portshots.
Yeah.
We'll message later. Thank you
much
so
love.
Much.
Thank you.
Love you.
Bye.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Mr. Matt Richardson, me and Helen need you right now to come and talk to us about your childhood, okay? No, it's not an option. We will see you in 30 seconds. Bye.
Deleted.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.